All right, good morning. Good to see you this morning. If you will, let's take our song books and let's stand together. Let's go to 212. 212 this morning. Keep on the firing line. Good to have you with us. Let's sing out together this morning. Thank you for coming today.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we're dying fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he will find no place, so keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Hey, good job singing. Turn around and welcome someone to our service this morning. Everybody gonna be fist bumping. Appreciate you coming out today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you will. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, we come to you. Lord, today we come to you with open hearts this morning and humble hearts, Lord, knowing and understanding that we need you today to do your work in us, Lord. And we understand that nothing eternal will ever take place apart from you doing your work inside of us. So, God, today, Lord, we ask you to help us this morning. Help us to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything around us, Lord, as we studied in Sunday school this morning. And God, we know there's a lot of religious things that can catch our attention. Things, Lord, that can lead us astray from the person of Christ. But Lord, I pray today as we think and as we sing and give and preach and teach and listen, Lord, that today the focus would be on the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy, who alone can change us and help us. And so, God, this morning, will you do what only you can? And will you guide us today? And you help us in the next few moments. And God, will you be with those that are leading us in singing and be with those that are special today? And may everything today lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you again for letting us be here. Thank you for protecting us. And thank you for those that have come. And may today you do your work in our lives. Jesus, we ask this in your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And so good to have you with us this morning. Appreciate you coming today. And glad you made it out this morning. And I understand it's raining outside, but appreciate you coming and being here. There's several guests with us this morning. We have some folks from out of town and folks in town. And Sardis, will you help me welcome them this morning? Appreciate you coming today and being here with us this morning. And right in front of you, the pew in front of you, there's a little welcome visitor card. And you can take that card and fill it out. And in just a come on, when we have the offering, you can drop that in there, and we have a gift for you and a token appreciating you coming, being here with us this morning. Several announcements I need to mention. Number one, I want to mention about Teen Camp Parents. Please take note of that and continue to register online there. We're up to over 20 now that have registered and ready to go for that, but we do need to go ahead and register because those are filling up quick, the amount of slots that are available for that in Pensacola, Florida. And then, for all the men, there's an announcement in the bulletin. I'll say more about this tonight and next week, but the men's conference in Northport, Alabama, near Tuscaloosa, will be in March. Last year, this was the best thing that we did, spiritually benefiting anyway. So I wanted to challenge all our men, our guys, our team boys, and our young boys to go with us on that. And please, there's a welcome sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, that you can sign up for that out there. And then for our nursery workers, our meeting tonight after church, please take note of that, that we will be having tonight after church. We're glad you're here. We're going to sing again. If you will, take your songbook. We're going to go to 92. We're going to 92, veer off from the bulletin there. Number 92, let's stand together again, and let's sing Just a Little Talk with Jesus.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then the light from heaven filled my soul. It paid my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn him, know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn him, know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
There. I'm on. All right. Thank you. And I want to give you several updates, if I can, of our folks. The huge praise item is Miss Jennifer Trammell came home from the hospital last night. So she did come home, and she'll be going back Monday, and they're going to be doing some things to help her again on Monday, but she'll be back on Monday night. And again, we mentioned Wednesday night, if you can help with meals for the next week, we are going to be doing that. Please let Miss Teresa Marshall know so we can make sure to have those lined up for us for next week for her. And so we praise the Lord for that. But keep praying for Miss Jennifer. And then I need to mention these three too. Pray for Papa Brush and Mama Patty. They left just a little bit ago. His son somehow in the middle of the night had a bunch of seizures, and they think it's related to meningitis in his brain and stuff. And they're MRIs and things right now, and they have him under. So they left just a little bit ago going to Tennessee to be with him. So please pray for them as they are traveling. And then David and Jenny Wellman, one of our new families has not been saved too long, right over here, just left after Sunday school. His aunt is in Tallahassee, Florida, and she is passing away tonight or today, sometimes not doing well at all. And so they left to take their uncle down there to be with them. And so pray for them. Continue to remember them in prayer. And then also pray for Wayne Pittman. Wayne, good to see you here. Made it in a little bit ago, but pray for his dad right now. And really tough days right now for them. And pray for Wayne and his family. And Wayne's got a lot of family that need the Lord. And you pray for God to use him and be a witness to his family. So let's remember them in prayer and pray for them as well. Okay, and several others too. Andrew will be having her baby in the morning, Lord willing. So pray for them as well. And pray for God to work in that. All right, any other thing I want to make sure I didn't forget anything I need to mention, and so make sure I didn't leave anybody out. A lot of other prayers things from our Wednesday night prayer, we'll just remember those, but let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our offering. Ask Brother Jimmy Baxter, if you will, pray for our offering this morning. Amen, amen. Hey, if you will, I want you to take your songbook, if you will. Let's go to 381, 381. And this song goes right along. We're going to be preaching on here in just a little bit. But you know, as a Christian, sometimes I know you can identify. You've been standing in the line somewhere and God tell you to speak to that person and talk to them about the Lord or give them a track. But your fear gets the best of you. Your flesh gets the best of you. You don't. And you know, as Christians, we're going to be opposed by the devil until we get home. We're going to be opposed to not stand up for Jesus. And now this morning as we sing this, I want you to think about what we're singing. Let's stand together if you will. Let's go to 381. And Brother Mickey's going to lead us as we sing, Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. Till ever for is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. day the noise of battle, the next the victor song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign.
Amen. You could be seated, and I want to ask you, if you will, if you'll go ahead and take your Bibles and take it and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We're going to be there in just a little bit. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a pew in front of you. There's a purple Bible there. If you'll take that Bible and go to page 1215, 1215, we'll be there in just a little bit. But before I come preach this morning, Brother Jeff is going to come sing for us. So will you make him feel welcome as he comes to sing for us this morning? Bless you, brother.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and time has rendered, and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged I believe that this life with its grave mysteries surely someday will come to an end. Oh, but faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine, and that's why by the cross I will stay.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. What a beautiful song. And I thank you for practicing and praying and excited about that beautiful song. We're excited about getting the word this morning. If you will, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's so good to see some guests with us today. And Coach, it's good to have you here with us. And I told him, if I knew he was coming, he could have sang and Allison could have preached today. Amen. And I'm kidding about that. But I'm so glad they're here and love and appreciate them and miss them. And you be praying for them. And I'm so thankful for all that God's doing in their life and through their life. And if you will, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and looking forward to our time in the Word of God. And this morning, I'm going to do something that is, as a pastor, want to make sure I always want to be faithful to the Word of God. And what that means is you know when you're reading it, you're seeing what it is. But this morning, I am going to preach on a secondary truth in this passage. What is the secondary truth? Let me tell you what the intent of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, and here's what he has to say to them. He's saying, guys, listen, you are carnal. You think you're spiritual, but you're actually carnal in your life. And matter of fact, I can't even talk to you about maturity in your faith because you're carnal. And chapter 3 is him writing to these people about signs that they are carnal and they're not really spiritually true. But in doing that, he explains a truth that I want us to look at this morning while he's doing that. And although it is not the specific intent of the passage as a whole, he does secondarily explain this truth, and I want us to look at it this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning. If you're glad you're here, say amen. I'm glad you came this morning. Let's stand together, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And thank you so much for coming and being here today. And be praying for the day. Appreciate you making it out this morning. And I really do. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. It says this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now remember this, okay? He's not talking to people that just got saved. He's talking to people that are saved, they are in church, but they're carnal, and they cannot grow. They're not accomplishing what God has for them, and that's who he's addressing here. But look in verse number 2. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for there is among you, listen, some of the signs, envying and strife. You know, a person that is strifeful or envious, and they always got something about others, they're a carnal person. They may know the Bible, but they're carnal. They're not spiritual, as Paul is saying here. Then he goes on to say this. He says, your envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men or unsaved men? You act like unsaved men. In other words, when you see a carnal Christian, a carnal man, a carnal teenager, a carnal woman, you think there's no way that person's saved the way they act. But the truth of the matter is, Paul's talking about it here. But look what he says in verse number 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? And look at verse 6. Here's our text. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. This morning I want to preach on this idea, and how are men saved? How are men saved? Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we pray that you will help us now. And God, I pray for the spiritual believers in this room, that you will work in our lives today, and that may we begin to become consumed, Lord, with what you desire for us in our lives. And I pray today, as we learned in Sunday school, that we will be busy about the evangelist, Lord, of giving the gospel to the world that is around us. And may we, Lord, make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And God, today I pray that all the other things that go on in the carnal religious world that would sidetrack us from the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would not listen to them, we would not give attention to them, but we would, Lord, with faithfulness proclaim Christ and preach Christ and share Christ. And may people know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can save and change and build a life on this earth. So God, help us now. Make this simple in our hearts today. We pray in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. in John chapter number 4 this morning. I don't want you to go there. You can write it down if you like to when you get home. But it's an amazing story, and I want you to listen to this story. It was this girl. She was from Samaria, which meant she would have been a half-breed. She wasn't a fully Jew or fully Gentile. She'd have been a mixed breed. And she was an outcast in society. She comes in the middle of the day. The women would go to the wells, and they would draw water for their families. And she comes to this well in the middle of the day. Now, a lot of times we read that story and we forget something, but I want to say this. This woman was a very religious-minded person. If you could have brought up scriptures, matter of fact, she probably could have quoted them to you, because she's having a spiritual conversation, a scriptural conversation with Jesus at one point in this conversation. But here this lady is, and her life, watch me, is a mess. Not only is her life a mess, but other people around her knew that her life was a mess. It wasn't just something that she lived with. It was her testimony in the world. As a matter of fact, she'd been through like 5 marriages, and she was living with a man now at this time immorally that she wasn't married to. And she comes to the Lord at that time. In John chapter 4, she comes down here to draw water. And in the middle of the day, while she's down there drawing water, she gets into conversation with Jesus Christ. And by the end of the story of Jesus talking to this girl realizes that she does not have Jesus as her Savior. She may be a religious person. She may be able to talk some scriptures, but she has never had Christ come into her life. And she gives her life to the Lord, and Jesus changes her life. If you're following me, say amen. But after this happens, pay attention. The Bible says she goes back home to her city. And as she goes home to her city, all the people that knew her, she got around. And she said, listen, let me tell you who I just met. I just met the man that is the Christ. And you guys know that there's a Christ coming. I just met him. And he told me all the things that I did. But he forgave me. And he changed me. And he saved me. And I want you to know. I want you to come meet him. I have found the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says after she told them that some of them looked at the change in her life instantly and said, I believe you. And they too embraced Christ. But the Bible also says that some of them came back with her to Jesus, where Jesus was. And after they met Jesus themselves and talked to Jesus themselves, then they were saved. And follow what happened. This lady, she went home to her city, and people were saved in the city. And there were some who came to Jesus and were saved. But all these people were saved, some by her testimony, some by talking to Christ himself. But understand the truth. They came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But why? Because this woman was willing to share her faith of what Jesus had done in her life. If you're following me, say amen. And the truth of the matter is, Christian, this morning, if people are going to be saved, you and I have to come to the place in our life as believers where we are willing to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ in our faith. You say, Brother Joy, that's the preacher's job. That woman wasn't a preacher. That's the deacon's job. That woman wasn't a deacon. She was disqualified. She'd been married 5 times. Not only that, she wasn't a man. Hey, I want you to think with me this morning. Here this woman was. Her life was a mess. She didn't know Christ, but she came to know Christ, and she was used by Christ to win people to Christ. And hey, listen to me, sir. Listen to me, ma'am. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have been saved by the grace of God, we have a responsibility to play a role in people being saved. If you still follow me this morning, say amen. And the truth of the matter is, we got to get a hold of that in our life, because here's what we think in churchianity today. We think that there's some people that are better Christians, and they know how to talk to people about Jesus, and there's some people that just understand it all, and they're better at bringing people to Christ. But my friend, that is not what the Bible teaches. Some of the most simple, some of the most ignorant, some of the most unlearned people in the Word of God brought people to Christ. Why? Because they were willing to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning, the Apostle Paul comes to them, and here's what's going on in this church. They are arguing, you ready for this, about who is the most spiritual preacher they know. That's what they're arguing about. Hey, I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. The Apostle Paul was a brash man. He was an alpha male. He would just walk into somewhere. He was a leader among leaders. And some people said, that is my kind of preacher. That is my kind of man. And the Apollos, he was more of a polished individual that knew much of the scriptures. In the book of Acts, we have his story of how he was very knowledgeable of the scriptures. He had a sparkle personality. And some people said, that is my kind of preacher. And the Apostle Paul came on the scene and said, hey, what is wrong with you, Christian? You are carnal in your sin. You are carnal in your thinking. You are comparing men with men. People are not saved because a person is a great man. People are saved because God is allowed to do his work in their life. And you see what was going on here in Corinthians is this, is they were trying to figure out who was the most influential, who should get all the credit for people coming to know Christ. And understand this morning, Christian, nobody deserves credit but the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody deserves a hole in their belt but the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody deserves a reward on their wall but the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, it is Christ that saves. It is Christ that changes. It is Christ that does the work, and not a man. If you're still with me, say amen. You say, Brother Joel, why is this important? I'm going to tell you why it's important. Because there's some of us in this room, and here's how we think. I cannot bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at me. Before you let your mind go off in error, I want you to hear me out. Give me a chance this morning. And if the Word of God don't convince you, that I will never have this conversation personally with you again. Publicly, yes, because I'm going to stand before God. But not personally and privately. But listen, that is a lie from the devil of hell. God can use your life to bring people to Jesus Christ. And you say, Brother Joey, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. Brother Joey, I don't have, you ready for this? The gift. I don't have the gift to go up and just talk to people about Jesus Christ. Some of us don't have the gift of servanthood, but that should not exempt us from moving chairs. The truth of the matter is, we find so many ways in our flesh to keep from having to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But truth is today that all of us in this building, we can be used by God to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mama, you can be used by God to win your children to the Lord. Papa, you can be used by God to win your grandchildren to the Lord. But we got to be willing to say, God, I want to do my part. You'll do your part. I'll do my part. And God, you'll be glorified. But people can be saved. But a church and Christians have to be willing to do their part in people coming to know Christ. Now, I know this morning that this is not our favorite topic to talk about. You know why? Here's what I'm learning. The only people that want Christians to talk to the lost are the lost. But it's after we get saved, we got what we want, and so we're not going to do our part. Listen to me. As a believer, when we come to know Christ, our star has just begun. Our job has just begun. And we are to be busy trying to be bringing people to Christ. And Paul comes to these believers and said, listen, what are you doing? You're comparing Apollos and Paul. My friend, none of us are anything. God brings people. And we just have to do our part of winning people to Christ. And you say, Brother Joey, this morning, what is our part? What is God's part? I want to give it to you and we'll be done. Number one, man's role. What is man to be doing? Look at, if you will, in chapter 6. I want you to look at chapter 3, verse number 6. Chapter 3, verse 6, look what it says. Paul said this. He said, I have planted and Apollos watered. He said, I have planted and Apollos watered. Now, Paul here, he wanted them to understand that, hey, there was a different time. Paul was the first one to come to this area. He was the first one to bring the gospel to these people. But after he moved off the scene, Apollos came on the scene. And Apollos was the other one that reaffirmed what Paul was preaching and the gospel message. What was Paul saying? If a person is going to be saved, somebody has got to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, you may this morning say, Brother Joey, there's nobody in South Alabama that they ever heard about Jesus. Hold on just a second. Last week on this property, you listen to me, if you're still with me, say amen. There's a little girl down in children's church right now. A little girl in this children's church downstairs on this property right now. And here's what she said last week, an elementary age child to the teachers. She said, can I borrow one of those books? And the teacher said, what do you mean books? She said, you know those little books. There was one in my seat, and I don't know, can I have one of those books? And the teacher listened to her a couple times say, books, said, are you talking about a Bible? And then she picked up a Bible, and she said, that's it. Listen to me. A little girl down in this room on this property today is kin to some of you in this building, and she did not even know what a Bible was. Y'all help me. I'm not being unkind. I'm trying to get us to see. Our job is to be bringing people to Christ. And there's people all over this world, all over this city, all over this county that have never heard of Christ. They don't even know what the Word of God is. They don't know what the gospel is. And hey, listen, church, we have to get serious about giving the gospel to people. You say, Brother Joey, a child comes and has a good time. Praise God. But did they get the gospel? A man comes and he was greeted by people and friendly. Good. But did he get the gospel? Did she hear the gospel? And Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered. Hey, church, listen, our job is to take the gospel to those that are around us. We're to do it at work. We're to do it at home. We're to do it in the community. We are to be taking the Word of God and sharing it with people so they can know the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen this morning, because I want to tell you this. I was that kid that didn't know. I was that kid, and I remember at a football game when somebody had guts enough at a football game to come up to me and say, hey, can I give you one of these little things, a little tract? And I opened it and read those Bible verses. And as a 17-year-old kid, it started a process in my life of God began to work in my life. And I'm telling you today, I don't believe I'd be standing here preaching if somebody hadn't have brought me the gospel. Somebody say amen. Here's what can happen to us. Daddy, you better listen, because you're going to stand before God for your kids. Here's what can happen to us. We can get so churchyized. I know that's not a good word, but I'm from Mississippi. Bear with me. Amen. We get so churchyized that we forget that our kids have to be trained to know the gospel. We have to share the gospel with them. True story. Many of you know my mom died when I was younger. Don't feel sorry for me. Listen to what I'm saying. When I was just a 7-year-old kid, my brother was 9. My dad didn't just leave us at home for a year, so through the summer, right after my mama died, she'd been dead about 6 weeks. There was a Mennonite family that lived right up the road from us. It was a man, his wife. He had 2 sons and 2 daughters. And I want to tell you, how many of you here know when I say Mennonite, you know what I'm talking about? Will you raise your hand? I just want to make sure you know. Let me tell you what a Mennonite is. Mennonites are people, they live squeaky clean. The men wear button-up shirts and they never untuck it. They wash their hair. Before they come to a meal, they go and like wash up everything, comb their hair, hairspray. This is lunch in the middle of the day. Come in from the field, go change clothes, come eat, sit down. They pray together and all these things. Squeaky. I remember going to the house as a little kid, and we went over there one time, and I remember this. They did not have a TV in their house. And I thought, these people have never seen Woody Woodpecker. You're kidding me. Amen. These kids have been deprived. I remember those days. They didn't watch TV. You listen? They didn't even have a radio in their vehicle. They thought it was of the devil. By the way, most of it nowadays is. Squeaky clean living folks. Attitudes. Listen to me. I never saw their kids have an attitude with their parents. And I remember staying there. The whole summer we stayed there with them. And they are saved people. But here's what their Mennonite church teaches. I do not have to talk to you about Jesus. You will learn it on your own because God will just bring it to you. And there I was as a little boy, lost as a goose. And they had every opportunity to talk to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. They never said one word to me about it. Not one word. And before we go saying, what in the world, how can that happen? What about us? What about us? Are we trying to win our kids? When I'm riding down the road, my granddaughter, do I try to say, baby, do you know what have you been thinking about Jesus? You know, Jesus, are we not trying to share the gospel? And the truth of the matter is, Paul said, my job was to plant. Apollos came along and watered, but hey, they worked together to get the gospel out. And you know today, church, it is not hard to get the gospel out, but we must be willing to do our job when you leave this building today. Right around the corner, there's a whole wall full of tracks. It's got the gospel in it. Take those tracks, hand them out, put them out there. Why? Because God has commanded us to take the gospel out. And hey, I can't witness everybody at McDonald's. I can't witness everybody at Piggly Wiggly. But bless God, I can give a track out in prayer that God will use my efforts to see people saved. Somebody say amen this morning. True story in Virginia, we had a man in our church. His name was Terry. I love Terry. Terry became a friend of mine. He was actually on staff with us. He was the maintenance man. All he did was carry around trash. Terry was very interesting. Every week we had this company that would bring us supplies there in Virginia, the church I was on staff at, and they would bring supplies, and he would get those supplies, and he would take care of the maintenance, the closet, everything. He did all of that. But I noticed one day when we were out there, he took a paper of an order and handed it to me. And he said, Brother Joy, will you go get this to Brother Brian? Brother Brian was the guy that was over the business stuff in the ministry. And I looked at the paper and I noticed on signature, he put a black X. And I thought, that is weird. So I got over there and I gave it to Brother Brian. I said, Brother Brian, what does that X mean? He said, you don't know. I said, no. He said, Brother Terry can't read and he cannot write. He said, he can't even write his own name. 50-year-old man on staff at a church, couldn't even read or write his own name. God would use anybody, amen. He started having heart problems. Now remember, him in the hospital, they were getting ready to do a heart cath. I walked in, he was sitting in there on the bed, leaned up with a heart cath. He had one of them dresses on. And I was picking at him, bro, you look good in that dress, amen. And I noticed when he was sitting on the bed, he had on tall white socks. And underneath those socks, he had a stack of tracks. I said, Terry, what are you doing with those? He said, every nurse I meet, I'm giving her a tract saying, hey, can I give you this? This talk a story about how God changed my life. And he said, every person I'm talking to, I'm trying to do my best to make sure they get the gospel. Now listen, we can do that. We can do that. Paul said, I have planted. Apollos watered. And listen, church, if we want people to be saved and we want to see people saved, we want our families to be saved, we want young people to be saved, then we better be busy giving the gospel out and getting the gospel out. And Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. But hey, look at number two. Number one, man's role. But number two, I want to see this. Here's God's role. Look what he says back in verse number six. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, what does this word mean? While Paul and Apollos were the ones that were the human instruments here in our story that were giving the gospel out, it was God and God alone that did the work in people's hearts and lives so that they could be saved. Can I tell you this morning, church, we have to understand that there is a part of people being saved that God has to do that we cannot do. We share the gospel, but God has to convince them. God has to come along and say, hey, you need that. You need Christ. You're without Christ. Your life is a mess. You're empty. You're not only in this world, but you're without God in this world, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. God comes alone and convinces a person that they need to be saved. Listen to this. If you're still with me, say amen. Man on our staff in our church in Virginia who taught Sunday school, grew up in the church, was on the leadership board. One day he was sitting in church, and the preacher was preaching on something about like this. And he said, for the first time ever, it was like the Spirit of God came and about knocked him out of his seat. And he thought, man, that was weird. And he said he didn't say anything because he didn't know what to say. But he went home and he couldn't get away from it. Another week went by, he couldn't get away from it. Another week went by, he couldn't get away from it. And after about 4 weeks of battling, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to him, telling him he was lost, he was going to die and go to hell, he walked into the pastor's office, a Christian school graduate, a Bible college graduate, on staff at a church, a Sunday school teacher, a leader on the board, said, Pastor, I think God is telling me that I am not saved. He said, what do you mean? He said, listen, I know the Bible. I know the gospel. I can take you all through it. But I can't go to a time of my life when God changed me in here, when he made me a whole different person. I know the Bible. I know the gospel. I teach it for the love of God. But I don't know Christ. And there in that office that day, he gave his heart to Christ. He gave his life to Christ. And Christ changed him and filled him with the Holy Spirit of God. He became a different man, and he was powered by God. Hey, a man can't do that. A church can't do that. Only God can change a man's life. Somebody say amen. And listen to me. You say, Brother Joey, I came down there to that altar, and I prayed, and I got down, and I even cried, and I asked Jesus, save me. Listen to me. If you came down here just like you were, and you prayed, and you wept, and then you got baptized, but if you went right back to your sin, and you're the same person now that you were then, you got the same attitude now that you did then, you just got new habits, you're still lost in your sin, and you are not going to heaven. You are on your way to hell because you did not get saved. You got religion. Christ didn't come into you, because when Christ comes into your life, he brings his life inside of you. And it ain't about praying a prayer. It is about meeting a person. And how many people are thinking they're going to heaven, they're actually going to hell, because only God can convince a person that they need to be changed. And I want to tell you this morning, just because I'm in church does not mean I'm heaven bound. I can be sitting in church with a Bible in my lap and not know Christ today. But if I know Christ today, he has changed my life, and that is God's part. Now I'm moving on to conclusion. If you're still with me, say amen. Number one this morning, man's role. We got to get the gospel out. Here's one of the thought processes. Brother Joey, if God wants people to be saved, he'll save them. And that is true. But my man's not going to get saved because he saw a star twinkle in the sky. You better listen to me. He's not going to be saved because he was sitting in a jail cell and he said an angel came and spoke to him. He's not going to get saved because he walked outside and said, God, are you real? And lightning struck across his yard sign. Now, I'm thankful for lightning and I'm thankful for the sky, but that ain't how people get saved. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear? Without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And my friend, if a person does not hear the gospel from the word of God, I don't think you have to have a big purple Bible like this, a big 9.5 by 13. I don't think you got to have a Bible this big. I think you can share it on your phone. You can quote it. But a man has to hear the gospel and the word of God for the word of God to produce fruit in their life. And listen to this morning. God does not have any hands but ours. He doesn't have any bodies but ours. We are the temple of God. And if the gospel is going to get out, we have to be willing to do our part. Man's role is to get the gospel out. God's role is to convince them they need it. And then in concluding, I want you to look at verse number 8 with me, and we'll be done. Verse number 8, watch this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? I want you to look at me. I don't want to get sidetracked here. But I want you to listen to me. Every person in this building is just as important to God's team as whoever's standing behind this pulpit. See, I would hope for a bigger amen than that. Every person in this building is just as important as whoever's standing behind this pulpit. Here's what we've allowed the devil to teach us. That there's superiority. There are no superiority other than Christ. And Paul said, me and Apollos, we're one. In other words, God's got something he's trying to do down here, and he's got all his servants working for him for one goal, that people can know Christ and grow in Christ. But verse 8, I don't want to get sidetracked. Let me get to where we're going to. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. First closing thought I want to give you is this. God's going to reward every effort you do in your life. Everything you do to try to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be noticed. What do you mean? Let's say this morning that two people, say Wayne and Jennifer, we can use that. Jennifer's not here, so don't tell her. Amen. They come and they say, hey, there's this Awana family that's been coming. The kids been coming on Wednesday nights. We don't know the parents. We don't even know who. We want to go meet the family. And they go and they sit in that home and they meet the mom and dad. And they say, hey, thank you for letting little so-and-so come. And we want you to know that this is our purpose. We want to make sure that she knows the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go over and then mom and dad are sitting there. And while they're doing that, the little dog over here is just a terror. Amen. And demons have possessed him while they're there in the home. You follow? It's bad. And Jennifer says, Wayne, you talk to them. I'm going to take this little flat-nosed schnauzer over here out of the way. And she picks the dog up and takes it over there in the other room, and she's playing with the dog. And one thing leads to another. They give the gospel, and the mom and dad and the child say, you know what, we want to give our lives to Jesus. By the way, that can happen. You say, Brother Joey, Wayne's going to get a reward. Not a bigger one than Jennifer. Both of them had a part in that person coming to Christ. Both of them played a role in that person coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm already going to. You're about to be baptized anyway. It's going to be embarrassing. Amen. Don't leave. Amen. Back there in the back, Shad's brother-in-law is going to be baptized in just a little bit. Just a couple weeks ago, it was an awesome thing to see him weep his way into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drives a tree-cutting tractor. All day he's got buds in his speaker buds. I'm going to make sure I clarify, speaker buds. Takarta Bible app just plays the Bible to him all day. Brother Joy, how did he get saved? You listen to me? He helped coach one of our upward football teams this year. He wasn't on my team. His son wasn't on my team. He didn't help coach my team. But I'm glad he got saved. And I want to tell you, listen to me, Christian. Some of you sitting here, you spent 8 weeks out there at that God-forsaken concession stand at Upward. You're going to get rewarded. Some of you, you've been praying for Steve for years. You're going to get rewarded. Some of you, you were out there coaching, praying, and practicing devotions, praying. You're going to get rewarded. You know why? Because God says, not me, God says, every man will be rewarded according to his labor. And my friend, it is not our job to save people. It is our job to give the gospel out. And then God convinces a man. God draws a man. God changes a man. God gets the glory. But we're going to get rewarded. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, that little $5 you gave at the Upward Ceremony, that $5 is going a long way in your eternal account. And God notices it. And God's going to reward you. And everything we do to see people saved, God said, I'm going to reward you for it. But I want you to look at this next thing, if you will. Look at verse number 9 with me. I want you to stay right here. And, hey, we about done. We're going to get done. Or I told my brother, like, by the way, last week, he preached four times, and all four times except one, he preached over an hour. I said, Tim, our people are going to be so happy for the first time in their life to hear me preach Sunday. But I want you to look what God says. I'm telling you, Christian, some of you sitting there, you're spiritual. You're not carnal. Some of you carnal, you're thinking of ways to get out of this. But listen to me. Some of you are spiritual saying, God, I want you to use my life. You need to write verse 9. You need to circle it. You need to highlight it in your life. You need to see this. Look what Paul said, verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Hey, look at me. Paul said, we got a role that we do. Get the gospel out. But look what he says in verse 9. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, the word husbandry and building here, Paul was saying, we have a role to get the gospel out, but you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. This is a double statement. He said a double. Why? Because he was trying to drive home a truth. What was the truth? The word husbandry here is field. is saying God is the farmer. He works in the field of men's lives. The word building here is construction. Our lives are the building site. God is the construction. What was Paul saying? Here's what Paul said. Paul said in verse 8, you will be rewarded for everything you do. In verse 9, he said this, God Almighty and God Almighty alone will be faithful to do his part to people that help him in this field. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean. Our job is to be faithful. Don't you get sidetracked. Listen, don't you get sidetracked. You walk around and some Christian comes up and says something to distract you from Christ. You better get your eyes on Jesus and get them off men. Don't you get sidetracked. Don't you let the devil get you off road. You stay focused. Why? Because if you will be faithful to get the gospel out, God Almighty will do his job. True story. He's not here today. I'm glad he's not. He just had surgery, and Lord willing, he'll be back in a couple weeks playing. But I want you to listen to this. If you're still with me, say amen. A couple months ago. Actually, it's almost a year now. I think a year, 10 months. There's a man that in his 50s lost his way, and he got to the bottom of the barrel in his life. He got to the part where every day of his life he was just running and romping and doing whatever he wanted to do. And he got so sick and tired. But there was somebody in his life, we don't know who it was. I don't know who it was, he does. Who was constantly telling him, I'm praying for you. And had shared parts of the gospel with him in his life. They loved him enough to share the gospel with him. It was some lady in his family. He was sitting down in a hotel in Florida. And he was sitting there one night and he was messed up. He'd been partying, been running with the wrong folks. And I think he said it was on a Friday night that he was sitting there and he was out of his mind, but he said he was so miserable from conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. He said, his own words, he got on his knees and he said, God, I know you're real, and I know that I have been running against you, and I need Jesus in my life. And he's what he said. He said, God, if you will help me Sunday to get in church, wherever you lead me, I'll go. And God, I'll give my life to you if you'll lead me. Saturday morning, he woke up Saturday morning at the hotel. He called his niece, which lives in Eufaula. He said, hey, this is Terry. And she said, how are you doing? He said, listen, I'm coming to you following this afternoon, and I want to go to church tomorrow. And I was wondering if you had a church you've been going to or a church you want to go to. And she said, Terry, that is so crazy. And he said, what do you mean? She said, yesterday, I think it was, I was at Walmart, and somebody gave me a tract to Sardis Free Will Baptist Church. We ain't done yet. Hang tight. Sunday morning, he comes and she comes and they sit right back there together. And during the service, I remember it. It's one of those weeks when I preached on a life being changed and running from God. And during the invitation, Terry came. He got down and right over here, he knelt down. Some of you, somebody in here prayed, but I don't remember who it was. He knelt down right there and he gave his life to God. And now he plays one of the guitars for us. And he'll be back in a couple weeks after he gets his feeling from the surgery he had. But you say, Bro Joy, that's incredible. No, that's how God does things. That's how he does things. And listen this morning. That's what he wants to do. Yo, we can't be so religious that we're trying to bribe people. Listen, if people don't want Christ, they don't want to be here. If they want Christ, we want to give them Jesus Christ. But we got to do our part. We got to be willing to say, hey, God, use our efforts. I'll leave a track. I'll send a text. I'll call. I'll send an email. I'll go visit God. I'll do my part. And God, you'll do your part. And hey, if we want to see people saved, we've got a job that we got to do. And God will do his job. Somebody say amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Those being baptized, you'll make your way to the room. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Father, we come to you this morning.